48. And what we do is we just go all over the Bible. Ezekiel 48. And the last verse of Ezekiel, actually, is where we want to read. The last book, the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Ezekiel. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." The Lord is there. This is a compound name for God, Jehovah Shammah. And I will try to get you a list of these names. I should have written out, when I was doing this, I was finishing all this up this afternoon, I thought I should have made a list instead of just spitting them out to you. I'll try to get you a list of these different names. But this is the Hebrew word, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, or you can say the Lord is present. Now, this is the greatest blessing that we can have, is the presence of the Lord, the presence of Jehovah. This text is speaking of a time that God will restore Israel in the latter day. He's going to bring them to their land. He's going to give them their temple. He's going to give them a special blessing, which is a city. And in that city, the name of that city is going to be the presence of the Lord. The Lord is there. That's the name of the city. What a wonderful name to name a city. Now, it seems to me, and I'm not going to tell you that I can explain all the secrets of the mysteries of the book of Ezekiel. It seems to me that this is the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation that comes down out of heaven. It seems to be the same size and have all the same characteristics. But as we saw this morning, Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New. Jehovah is the one who exists by his own power. So tonight we want to look at and compare the names of Jehovah. We saw one here to begin with, and we'll come to this one again. So we'll come back to this one, but Ezekiel 48, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, or the Lord is present. The New Testament equivalents to this, you say, well, how's Jesus that? Well, what did he tell his church when he gave them the Great Commission? Lo, I'm with you, always, even to the end of the world. Every time you see Jehovah saying something in the Old Testament with a special name, you'll see a picture of that in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is Jehovah. Jehovah from the Old Testament is Jesus in the New. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is presence. Present is just one compound name among 14 different compound names for Jehovah. Some break these names up into different categories, but for our study tonight, I want to break them up in two groups of seven. Seven compound names and seven other compound names. First of all, seven compound names that denote God in his godhood, or his creative attributes. There's seven of those. And then there's seven compound names of Jehovah that denote his redemptive attributes. So you can see he has his... I got the mic on, right? And he has his names that relate to his creatorship, that his godhood, and then he has the names that relate to his redemptive work, which becomes really precious to us. I put these in what I believe to be an order I think we can follow, and maybe you can follow the logic with me. But Jehovah Hosanu. Jehovah Hosanu means the Lord our maker. Psalm 95 and verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker." That's a name. Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our maker. This is the same word that's used in Genesis 1 when the Lord made, God made. He made all things. God made the firmament. God made the tree bearing fruit. God made the tree with the seed in the fruit. God made the two great lights. Then God made man, and et cetera, on and on. All those, that's the same word, maker. And here we see in Psalm 95, 6 that Jehovah Hosanu is the Lord our maker. He's the Lord our maker. That's one name for Jehovah. Well, so how do we find Jesus in that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So He's the maker. Jehovah the maker. The Lord the maker. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Hosanu. And when John 1 says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, that means He made everything, and then He stands outside of that, not in the made category. Everything else is made by Him. That makes our Lord Jesus Christ Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our maker. In Colossians chapter 1, we see more of that same teaching about Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, when we read beginning in verse 13, who translated us, or delivered us out of the power of darkness, and had translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son, and then we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created. He's the Lord our maker. By Him all things were created. Verse 16. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. Think about that. Things that you can see, things that you can't see. He made things you can't see. Visible, invisible, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That means He was first, then everything else. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's the Lord, our maker. From the Old Testament, Jehovah Hosanu is that same God, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we learn that Jesus is Jehovah, what we learn from this is Jesus is Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our maker. And I'm running through these. Number two, Eloheinu, Eloheinu, the Lord our God. And everything that has the word God with it, the Lord our God, will have the Elo name to it. The Lord our God, Psalm 99:5, exalt you, the Lord our God. That's a name. Jehovah Eloheinu. Jehovah Eloheinu. That is a name for God, the Lord our God. This morning we mentioned Thomas. When he bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what did he say? My Lord, my God. You'll always find an answer to Christ being all these names of Jehovah. The Lord our God. Jesus is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord our God. Number three, Elohim, E-L-O-H, what? Elohim. Well, it's very close to Elohim. Elohim. Yes, it's E-L-O-H-E-E-N in English. That's the way it sounds when you pronounce the Hebrew word. And that is the Lord our God, the Lord our God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third one of these Elos, there's three of them, is Jehovah Elohika. And that would be E-L-O-H-E-K-A. And it means Jehovah, your God. Jehovah, your God. In Exodus 20, I am the Lord, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. He's not just saying I'm the Lord, your God. He's invoking a name. That's a compound name of Jehovah, the Lord, your God. In Exodus 20, in verse 5 again, he said, the Lord, your God, I am the Lord, your God, and I'm a jealous God, the Lord, your God. And we saw this morning that it was Jesus. That was Jesus that led Moses from the backside of the desert to go and to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when the Lord says, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt, the Lord your God, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see that. Then I would say these last three go together. Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohika, and now Jehovah Eloha. And that means Jehovah our Lord, my God. So he's our God, your God, and he's my God. There's a name for just about everything you can think of. And it's Jehovah, my God. Elohei, my God. These three names are all with the word Elo involved. The name God is always with Elo, that one name Elohim, the creative name, the plural name for God. The Lord our God, the Lord your God, the Lord my God. It's amazing how it all works. Jehovah Elohei. And that in Zechariah 14, verse 5, the Lord my God shall come with all his saints. The Lord my God shall come. And you know, Zechariah 14 is a passage talking about the second coming of Christ and how he's going to reign on the earth and his reign on the earth. The Lord my God shall come with all the saints. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. Notice what's said of Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, And the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, what? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. With all of his saints. So this Jehovah Elohei is going to come in Zechariah 14:5 with all of his saints. Well, Jesus Christ is coming in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, with all of his saints. I really wonder if Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, people like that, actually read their Bible. 1 Thessalonians 3. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. It compares with Zechariah 14:5, where the Lord's coming with all of his saints, and it's the Lord my God that shall come. So when Jesus comes with all his saints, it's the Lord my God that's coming with all of his saints. Then the next one we want to look at is Jehovah Heloyon, Heloyon, and it means the Lord Most High, Jehovah Heloyon. And all these, as I said, the first seven denote his creative attributes, his godhood. He's our God, your God, my God, but then he's also the Most High God. Psalm 7:17, sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. That's that name, Jehovah Heloyon. Psalm 47, verse 2. The Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. And they're always connected. Well, who's the king over all the earth? We know that's our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Most High is terrible. He's the king over all the earth. We know Christ is the king of heaven, earth, the king of kings. He told Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world, but we know that he's going to reign on the earth. And he came. They recognized him as king. He didn't deny that he was king. He is king. So Jesus is Jehovah, Heliyon, Lord Most High. And then the last of the first seven compound names of Jehovah is the one we looked at the first of the message in Ezekiel 48, Jehovah Shammah, and that's S-H-A-M-M-A-H. The Lord is present, or the Lord is here. And that denotes his omnipresence. Wherever he is, he's there. But this also is talking about a special presence, that the Lord is there, and it's a special blessing to have him there. And those are seven compound names of Jehovah that denote his creative attributes and his godhood. Each seven of those point directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything about Jehovah points to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said this morning, this doesn't mean that the Father isn't ever referred to as Jehovah. Just think, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand. That would lead us to the Father. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's never referenced as Jehovah, because he's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jehovah. But when we meet Jehovah in the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person that we meet. When we meet him as a person, and he comes to his people, and he gives his people a word, that's always the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New. And I don't know how you could miss it. There's nothing more clear in the Word of God when you begin to compare in the Old Testament with the New Testament that God, Jehovah, his name, his primary name is Jehovah, above all his other names, is the same as Jesus, the same exact person. Then the next seven, and as I said, it gets even better. These seven names denote his redemptive attributes. And starting off with Jehovah Rohi, Rohi, and that's R-O-H-I. The Lord is my shepherd. See how it gets even more precious? We're not just talking about his, what we may call his high, holy deity attributes, his creative attributes, but now we're talking about redemptive attributes, where it really gets close to us. The Lord is my shepherd. We find that, we know, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, Psalm 23 is precious, teaching us all about the shepherd and all that the shepherd does for us. Jesus tells us in John 10, clearly, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And let me show you something precious there with this thought in mind in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So what kind of shepherd is he? He's the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And then notice what he says. If you're looking at the Old Testament and you see Jehovah is the shepherd, and you think, the shepherd of who? Well, he's Jehovah. He's Israel's God, the God of Israel, the one that appeared to Moses. He's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God, Jehovah, the one connected with the nation of Israel. And when he's here, he's talking in John 10 to the Jews. And he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. I lay my down my life for the sheep. And the Jews are saying, yes, we're the sheep. We're the ones spoken of in Psalm 23. But notice what else he says. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now that's when it begins to get precious. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he makes it really clear. I must bring them. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd. What's he saying? Jesus Christ in the New Testament is Jehovah the shepherd, the Lord the shepherd of Israel. That's him. That was him back there. That's him now. He's still the shepherd. And he's bringing the nation of Israel, the church together ultimately one day, that there would be one fold and one shepherd. And it's only one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is this good shepherd. Jesus is Jehovah, my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Rahi, Jehovah Rahi. Then number two there on the second seven, and I know a lot of people are familiar with this one, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. If you go back to Genesis 22, and you know Abraham, the Lord called Abraham to take his son Isaac, his only son, the one that was promised to him all those years. It took so long to get him. And he's an old man now. And he said, you take this son, I want you to take him to the mountain that I'm going to show you. And I want you to sacrifice him there for me. And then you get to chapter 22, notice verse 8. Well, verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Dad, we got everything we need for a sacrifice, but we don't have the sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now, and then they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. By the way, can you imagine taking your son, knowing that God had asked you to kill your son, sacrifice your son, laid him down on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine that? He took the knife up, about to do it. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And think about it. Sacrificing his own son is obviously a picture of the Father sacrificing his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him just happened to be a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And then now his son becomes a picture of us, Isaac does, And the ram is the Lord Jesus Christ taking our place, and the Father sacrificing the ram. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So in verse 8, he says the Lord will provide himself. Now, this means the Lord's going to provide himself. The Lord's going to provide, verse 8, the Lord will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He's going to provide himself. It's amazing that he said that. Jesus was the sacrifice himself. Jehovah provided himself, not only provided the lamb, but provided himself as the sacrifice, because there was nobody else that could pay the price of our sins and satisfy the Father but Jehovah, which is Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that Jehovah, when you boil it down, he's the one. All through the Old Testament, we read Jehovah, and we think that this is some distant, far-off God. No, he's the one that appeared to his people and spoke with them. He's the one that gave him his word. He's the one that came down and went to the cross and provided himself as a sacrifice, a lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So therefore, Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, or the Lord provides. The next of the redemptive compound names of Jehovah is Jehovah Rapha, and that is R-A-P-H-A. And the Lord, it means the Lord that heals you. The Lord that heals you. And these are precious, thinking about our redemption and what Christ has done. The Lord told Israel after he brought them out of the land of Egypt, if they would hearken unto him, they would obey him, they would do right, keep his word. And I'm not quoting this, I'm paraphrasing what the Lord told them, that he would protect them from the diseases and from the water that was bitter. You remember they came across the bitter water. They couldn't drink. He said, I'll protect you from those things. What? For I am the Lord that heals you. That's that name. I'm the Lord that heals you. So you obey me, follow me, you have my healing power with you. And we know that it is Jesus, because it's Jesus' stripes by whom we are healed. We're healed by his stripes. And he's the Lord that heals us. Jesus was a healer when he came to this earth. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He made the lame to walk again. And in Mark chapter 2, he healed the man sick of palsy. And he did it for the purpose to show that he had power to forgive sins. And he asked him, which is greater, to tell the man of palsy, or to heal the man with palsy, or to forgive sins? There's another place where he confused them. They didn't know what to think. But it's more important to forgive sins any day than it is to heal a physical ailment. And so he heals us, but he heals us from our sins. He said it's the whole that need not a physician, but it's the sick that have need of a physician. And he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. He's the healer. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed from our sin. And also heals us from our sicknesses as well. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's the next one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. In Old Testament, Jehovah was called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we want to go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. And this is talking about when the Lord comes back and what the Lord's going to do for Israel and promises he's given them. In verse 5, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah shall be safe, and Israel shall dwell in safety. By the way, just a side note, I don't want to get too far off on it. Whenever you notice that it says Judah and Israel, that means all 12 tribes. Whenever you see the sons of Jacob, or Jacob, it talks about Jacob being saved in Romans chapter 11. All Israel shall be saved, because the promise was to Jacob. It's talking about all 12 tribes. This hasn't happened yet. And this is a promise. And they shall dwell safely. That's coming when the Lord returns. This is the name whereby he shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. That's what he's going to be called. And that's what the Bible says. When the Lord comes back, he's going to be called that. Well, if you go to Romans chapter 3. Paul's teaching us about our salvation, our experience of salvation. and how that there's none righteous, and we're all the same. Ultimately, he lays out the case for the heart condition of the Jews, the case for the heart condition of the Gentiles, and he shows how that we're all in the same boat. And he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and prophets. The righteousness of God without the law. Not under the old covenant, but it wasn't witnessed just in the New Testament. It was witnessed in the Old Testament outside of the covenant. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. He's our righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of God that's by the faith, the faithfulness, the work of Christ, his faith, trusting the Father. It's all about Christ. And so even it's the righteousness which is of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. This righteousness is for us all. Jesus Christ is this Lord of righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And you go on to read through there. It says in verse 26, and this is the reason he did it the way he did it, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He's going to declare the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Then the next one, Jehovah Shalom. You probably heard that word from Jews, Shalom. They say that all the time. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord, our peace. Gideon built an altar to the Lord when the Lord called him and he was working for God. He built an altar called Jehovah Shalom. And that's where you find that is Gideon doing that. Look in Judges chapter 6, if you would, and we'll see this. And I know we're running through a lot of scriptures kind of quickly, but I just want you tonight to kind of get the propoundance of all these compound names and how there's just no way out of it. That Jesus is this person. This is him over and over and over again. It's Christ. Judges chapter 6, there in verse 12, and this is Gideon with the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I think Gideon's thinking, what, a mighty man? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You're saying I'm a mighty man of valor, but we've been overtaken by the Midianites. They're oppressing us. They were under the rule of the Midianites. And you see there in verse 13, though, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Who's he talking to? The angel of the Lord. But now he says, oh, my Lord, Jehovah. Gideon calls him Jehovah. In verse 14, the Lord, Jehovah, looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he goes on to break him down to 300 men to take on 30,000 men before it's over. But then you see in verse, verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, the Lord that's speaking with him, when he perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. So he's afraid, just like everyone else that meets the Lord and realizes who they're standing in front of. And he says that he's afraid, oh Lord God, and he saw the Lord face to face, and what the Lord knew what to say to him, what? Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. It makes me think of Samson's parents. When Samson's parents met the Lord, his dad, Manoah, I believe his name, I'm trying to get it right off the top of my head, but he saw the Lord and he said, we're going to die. We saw God. And his wife said, if he was going to kill you, he'd already kill you before he left. But everybody that meets the Lord has this fear when they see him. So you hear some prophet saying, oh, I saw the Lord last night. He showed up to me and he told me to tell you this. If he saw the Lord last night, he would hardly be able to talk the next day. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Now, he built this altar, and he called this altar Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is our peace. The Lord is our peace. Jesus said what? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He told us not to worry, not to fret. Don't let your heart be troubled. He came to his people a number of times on the water. We talked this morning on the Sea of Galilee. They're in the middle of a storm. Peace, be still. Fear not. He entered into the upper room. They were afraid because he just appeared out of nowhere. Peace, be fear not. It is I. It's me. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is this one that spoke to Gideon. So when you read the story of Gideon and the Lord coming to Gideon and talking to him, this is Jesus Christ. Showed up and talked to Gideon and give him the instructions of what he's going to do. And you're going to, yes, I know you're oppressed by the Gideonites, Midianites. I know you're not a great warrior and everything, but I'm calling you one. Why? Because I got a plan and you're going to do it. Who was that was talking to him? Just go to your New Testament, the same man that's walking around with the apostles, that's preaching to the Jews in the New Testament, in the Gospels. That's this person, Jesus Christ. It's the same exact person. The Lord our peace, the Lord of peace. Then the next one is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. The Lord my banner. The Lord my banner. Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi, and the banner is a battle flag. It's like carrying a flag into battle, and that's what this is. And you just think about it, the church goes into all the world with the gospel. We go into all the world to preach the gospel. We have a commission to go, and what is our banner? What flag are we carrying? We're carrying the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look in Psalm 20, if you would. Psalm 20. Psalm 20 and verse 5 says, we will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know that I, the Lord, saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand up. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. So we see that this is, we notice right here, rejoice in his salvation. He saves his anointed. We don't trust in chariots and all that. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is Jehovah Nissi. Our banner, our battle flag is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's everything. He is the gospel message we bring. If we had, well, there's no way we could have a different banner than that. He is our banner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then lastly is Jehovah Mikdash, and that's M-K-A-D-D-E-S-H. Jehovah Mikdash, the Lord that sanctifies you. The Lord that sanctifies you. Now, Leviticus chapter 20, I'm going to read this to you. Leviticus chapter 20. In verse 18, we find this word, if I have it right. I knew I didn't have it right when I said that. Somehow I got, oh, Leviticus 20, 18. That's not right. I'm sorry. Got it wrong. I don't know how I did that. The Lord that sanctifies you. Well, I wish I had that for you. I'm really sorry. I'll have to get back with you on, because now it's totally lost from my mind. I'm trying to, oh, verse 8. There we go. Verse 8. I knew I could find it. Leviticus 20, verse 8. Notice this. Well, verse 7 says, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He's the Lord that sanctifies us. This is Jehovah Mikdash, the Lord that sanctifies us. Now, if Jehovah in the Old Testament is the Lord that sanctifies us, go over to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2. And it says in verse 19, we see Jesus, verse 9, 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So he sanctifies, we're sanctified, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're his brethren, the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. We're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see clearly that he is the sanctifier, Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, where the Lord said, I'm the Lord that sanctifies you, that was Christ in Leviticus chapter 20. There in Hebrews chapter 10, notice if you would, over to chapter 10. Beginning in verse 9, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking away the old covenant, establishing the new covenant, the Mosaic covenant is done away. In verse 9 he says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that means once and for all done. We're sanctified by the offering of the body. The Lord that sanctifies you. Jehovah Mikdash. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see we're sanctified through his body, through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our sanctification. He's our sanctifier. He's Jehovah Mikdash, the Lord our sanctification. Jesus is this Jehovah. And he's Jehovah through and through. Notice verse 11. Let's continue on just a little bit just to get some more of this. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So the priest would continue to do their work, but it really didn't take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. And by the way, how many passages we've seen? Jehovah sat down on the right hand. He sits on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who's the one doing the sanctifying? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same one that told Israel, I'm the Lord, your sanctifier. I'm the Lord, your sanctification. I'm Jehovah Mikdash. So Jehovah and Jesus are the same. Jesus is Jehovah through and through. But I left one out that I missed, and that's Jehovah Tishbath, Jehovah Tishbath, and that's the last one I want to look at. Jehovah Tishbath. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. That is T-S-B-A-T-H, Tishbath. Isaiah chapter 6, we see this very clearly. And then we'll go to John 12. You know, Isaiah chapter 6 is the place, the year that King Uzziah died, and Isaiah saw the Lord, and he was sitting upon a throne, and he was high and lifted up, verse 1, his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. By the way, I learned this from John MacArthur, and I learned this word, antiphonal. It's an antiphonal cry. It doesn't mean that they're all holy, 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 but they're all crying holy, holy, holy back to one another. It's just going through the crowd. Holy, 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 holy. And that's the way they're crying one to another. Is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So there we see this Jehovah Tishbath, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And you go on through here, and it's important to read this. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. How many times do we have to see a man meet the Lord and what happens to him? Woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, again, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Tishbath. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. Because what was the sin that came to his mind when he saw the Lord? My mouth. My lips are not clean. And so what did the Lord do? He sent an angel and cleaned his lips. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? He just right there, he got excited. He said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell this people. And this is what the Lord tells him to go. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Now, this is an interesting commission. He didn't say, go get a bunch of people saved. He didn't say, go and make sure you have a lot of converts. I'm dependent on you to get this done so people can be saved. He said, go and tell them that they don't hear. Tell them that they don't understand. And tell them that they can't, even though they see, they can't perceive it. And make their heart fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes so they can hear. And it's like, what a commission. And then said, Lord, how long? How long do I have to keep doing this? I mean, there's going to be no fruit. This is just going to be combative. It's going to be me condemning these people. How long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. And that's what Isaiah did. He preached the judgment of God on the people, that your ears are closed, you can't hear, but you're going to be held accountable because I'm telling it to you. And he went on and on and on until everything was completely done. Now, that's the account of Isaiah meeting the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Tishbath. Will you go over to John chapter 12? And you find Jesus is preaching. This is after Mary anoints his feet. And he goes along. He's telling about how he's going to be crucified and all those things and how he's going to die. In verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So that he had done all these miracles, they weren't believing on him, and he had preached to them. He had showed them clearly who he was. And you notice, I want you to notice the pronouns. But though he had done these, they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report, and who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, and that's Isaiah 53. The teaching of Isaiah. Therefore, could not. Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah saith again, now we're going back to our other passage, Isaiah chapter 6, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. What did he say? Jesus said, what? This is the saying, I shall heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. Talking about who? Back up to verse 37. They believed not on him. Talking about Christ. And spake of him. Talking about Jesus Christ. And we know it. I mean, he's obviously sitting on the same throne in Isaiah chapter 6 that he is in Ezekiel chapter 1 and in Revelation chapter 4. It's the same throne, same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Christ himself teaches us. That he says these things that Isaiah, when he saw his glory, or the John's teaching us now in this particular passage, saw him, his glory, and spake of him. So we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's him back in, that's him talking to Isaiah in Isaiah 1, verse 10, make their hearts fat, their eyes can't see, all of that, and it's fulfilled in Christ sitting here talking about it, standing here talking to these Pharisees at this time. And so he's talking about him. Jesus is Jehovah Tishbath, the Lord of hosts. That's him. He's the Lord of hosts. And we know that's true because we see him at Jericho. When Joshua comes into Jericho, and Joshua's out making his battle plans, he looked over and there's a man with a sword in his hand, a warrior standing there. And he said, are you with us or are you with them? He said, nay. In other words, the point is, are you with me? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. He's the Lord of hosts. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's him. He's the captain of the host. And when we see him coming in the book of Revelation, we see him coming in the epistles of the apostles, when they write about him coming, it's all his holy angels are coming with him. That's him in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know how many there are. I don't know how the number works. It's the word myriad in the Greek, but it's 1,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And I've tried my best to figure that up, but 1,000 times 10,000 would be 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So 1,000 times 10,000 is at least 10 million, but then thousands and thousands on top of that. And every time you got 1,000 times 10,000, you got another million. So I don't know. It's a myriad. It's an innumerable number of angels. He's the Lord of hosts, and then all of his people, and we don't know how many that is. From the history of the whole world, from Adam all the way till the time he comes back. He's coming with all those angels, with his saints. He's the captain of the Lord's host. And over again, all these names of Jehovah. This morning we just talked in general about Jehovah. And we saw all the passages in the New Testament that refer to the Lord, Jehovah, that they're direct quotes from the Old Testament, one after another. There's at least 20 exact perfect quotes that refer to Jehovah in the Old Testament being Jesus in the New. But then you break down the compound names, all his seven compound names of deity and godhood and his creator attributes. All of those are Jesus Christ. Then you look at all the names of his redemptive attributes, his compound Jehovah names. Every single one of them point directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how it could be any more clear in the Word of God that Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. When we meet Jehovah in the Bible, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's back all the way to Moses, or if we see him in the book of Revelation, it's the same person. The second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the teaching of your word about Jehovah God, all the precious names of Jehovah. And Jehovah is just one name, but it's your high name.